Hello and welcome to the FinTech Newscast. My name's John, and with me as always is Steve. How are you doing?
John, how are you?
Just counting all my virtual gains on my Dogecoin investment.
Yes, good for you. I'm on the other end of it.
Yes, you should sound hesitant about that. That's right.
I am.
Who knows when that's going to go down? Yeah, well, speaking of a volatile, crazy investments, on the other side of that are a lot of people starting new businesses. I think the rate was a bit higher than average during the pandemic. And facilitating that was a lot of SMB fintechs, fortunately, on the other side, to kind of fill in where the big banks really don't focus as much. We're lucky to have with us this week the CEO and co-founder of LendingFront, Jorge Soon. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, glad to be here.
First of all, tell us a little bit about LendingFront and what you guys exactly specialize in.
Sure. So LendingFront is a lending in a box solution. Our goal is really to help your, you know, alt lenders, traditional lenders, banks, credit unions, really modernize their whole lending infrastructure, really enable them to provide capital to small businesses. We provide all of the back office engine technology that is required to be a more nimble, digitally originating lender.
So, yeah, so you don't make the loans directly. Yeah. So you're the engine behind the bank or financial institution.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. Can you explain to our audience what a CDFI is and what role they play in small business creation or maintenance?
Sure. So CDFIs sit between banks and basically non-banks, right? They're called community development financial institutions. Traditionally, they're non-for-profit. Traditionally, they get money from government, local municipalities, you know, large banks, to lend in areas that are known as low to moderate income areas, where they will focus on helping areas where traditional lending usually doesn't work. Think of it as, you know, Detroit, Harlem, basically areas that, you know, tend to be, you know, predominantly minority, have a large concentration of, you know, cash businesses. And what they will do is they will do small business training, you know, assistance, but then they will also lend, and they will spend a lot of time, you know, more time than a traditional bank would spend on a small business, helping them sort of look at their books and decide to lend. They also have a huge need to digitize their process, right? Trying to lend to small businesses, you know, doing everything by hand is just slow, time consuming. So we serve that space to help them modernize.
Yeah, I saw one of the sectors that you work with is the film industry.
We're sector agnostic, but that is a new sector for us. And the way you want to think about lending is lending, whether you're whether it's a consumer loan, large commercial loan, or film industry, or pretty much anything, has the same components, right? You have somebody who needs to apply, you need to validate who's the applicant, you need to validate the business itself, right? You need to sort of, you know, make an offer of a loan, right? Loans tend to be the same, term loans. Then you basically need to just deploy it. So the process, the data gathering, the workflow management, a lot of it is the same. What tends to differ is the flavor and the data that you use. And the film industry is interesting enough. It's the same thing, right? It's cash flow based industry. You know, you have directors or writers that need a loan, but going into a bank and asking a loan officer, hey, can I get a loan, when all they're used to is, you know, real estate mortgages, doesn't tend to work. We partnered up with a company called Film Hedge that basically the individuals have a ton of experience in the film industry, understand the mechanics around, you know, how a film needs to be made and how you can lend against essentially the future of cash flows of those films being developed. And they needed, you know, an infrastructure that could be tailored towards sort of the metrics that they cared about, right? Without having to, you know, modify something that's, you know, used by a bank because it just doesn't fit. And given our technology architecture, given the flexibility, given the fact it's cloud-based, we were able to help them. And we can do that basically with any industry.
Yeah, as long as you know what the drivers are, how the cash flows work, the timing and all that. But so you have to customize a little bit to know like how things work in that industry and what's a real risk versus what's just different from like you were saying, the standard mortgage or large business template.
Yeah. So from our side, we do mostly configuration, right? Maybe some a little customization, but the way we talk to clients is, look, the originations of the application, the pulling of the data, aggregation of the data, the presenting of the loan, the sending of the emails, right? All that, that's all commoditized, right? We provide that. That's not, you as a lender are not adding any value to that. The value that the lender brings is the knowledge of the specific industry, right? What ratios they're looking at, the customer acquisition, right? Component is unique to each lender, right? How do you acquire customers it's a big component. And the management of the risk, but everything else, right? The how much money, you know, how many people have you given a loan to, who's owing you money? That's infrastructure that we can provide that at the end of the day doesn't differentiate a lender, really, right? It just eats up your resources. So it's easier for them to use us to do that and let them focus on acquiring customers and managing the risk.
Interesting. So it seems like this is actually sort of somewhat of a crowded space. There's a lot of white label lending engines out there. So how do you differentiate lending from your competitors?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot, quote unquote, lending technologies out there, but, you know, they're not all created equal. You know, LendingFront was created by individuals, former bankers, right? American Express, JP Morgan, Capital One, who understand lending extremely well. So we were lenders ourselves. Also, you know, Daria and I were we were basically early team members or founding members of OnDeck, right? We helped pioneer alt lending, right? Especially to small businesses. So we basically built that infrastructure technology from scratch. Difference is that we were the actual lenders ourselves, right? So we know all of the mechanics in terms of how to lend to small businesses, the technology required, you know, the complexities of raising capital, et cetera, et cetera. LendingFront is sort of the next generation platform where we're not the lender, but we're the technology provider to lenders. As opposed to other players who say they build a technology, we actually know what we built and we built it with a purpose, right? Here, the technology is designed so you can become a girl from, you know, 10 loans a month to 10,000 a month, right? It's designed for you to become a $1 billion lender, has all the sophistication that you need. So a company like Film Hedge can start, you know, at a low entry point. But we also service, you know, incredibly large companies like Fiserv, right? So it's commercial grade. It's a true end-to-end solution. So you can do originations, data management, collections, data warehousing, document management, all the way to actual servicing. So the sending and collection of funds. We're very unique that way. It's a true end-to-end. And, you know, like I said, the other big difference is we're lender agnostic. So we're not focused just on alt lenders. We're not focused on just community or banks. We're a true flexible platform versus a lot of our other competitors.
Got it. Okay. That's actually pretty interesting. So, and also your history, as you mentioned earlier, you came from OnDeck. What made you start LendingFront and what problem were you trying to solve?
You know, I don't like to say I came out of OnDeck. OnDeck came out of us, me, and my, you know, Mitch and Noah, who are essentially the co-founding team. Mm-hmm. And the idea there was always, you know, innovate on the lending technology. When we did OnDeck in 07, you know, the market wasn't ready, right? So banks weren't ready to buy technology. They basically didn't see a problem. So OnDeck was an innovation on, can we prove that you can originate loans online? Can you prove you can get your money back? And can you prove you can scale? The answer was yes. So LendingFront essentially became, after I left OnDeck, right? Went to Capital One, was really to see whether we can build the technology in a more mainstream lender, right? Like a bank. Right? Can you lend to small businesses using similar technology? Problem was that banks move very slowly. So although I did, you know, we made a lot of progress within Capital One, it just wasn't moving fast enough. So I ended up meeting Dario for a drink and he was bored. I was bored. And we decided to build LendingFront because basically it was, if we don't build the technology to innovate the lending process. No one else was. Or if they do, they weren't going to do it the way we envisioned it. And that's why we started Lending Fund, to help essentially banks, credit unions, right? Sort of the established players, you know, adopt a new technology infrastructure with our knowledge in terms of how to do it, how to do it efficiently, how to do it well, right? Because we did it, right? The difference is now we wanted to do it in such a way that they could take advantage of it.
You mentioned that before you came from Capital One. Did you find that it was much easier for you to begin something anew than to actually bring change from within at Capital One? It seems like those companies of companies at that scale have a more difficult time essentially having a better way to do business, right? They always struggle with innovation and again, doing things in a different way. So you felt like you could not do that at Capital One, but you could have to some extent at OnDeck and now with Lending Front.
Well, OnDeck came first, and OnDeck was a startup, so we can do whatever we wanted. And then Capital One, you know, well-intentioned, but you were right. You're right. You know, when each portfolio is $50 billion, mortgage, auto, whatever, commercial, you know, getting resources for a $5 billion portfolio, which wasn't as interesting, although they wanted to make it big. It's just politics gets in the way. And you don't have the flexibility, right? You don't own technology. Somebody else does. Right. So it's easier to just go start your own company because then you control everything.
Yeah, for sure. Do you see any large companies, either technology, fintech, or financial institutions that do handle technology well, that you're like, okay, they are actually innovating or rolling things out that are interesting?
If you're not a technology company at the core, you don't handle technology well because you're primary business is something else, right? Like banks, right? Your business is selling deposit loans and mortgages. There just happens to be a technology component to it. And that's where they get bogged down, right? They don't understand that piece, right? Realistically, unless they absorb new technology or they partner, they don't really do a great job at it because it's secondary to them.
Right, right. It kind of reminds me of a lot of those quotes over the years where like a JP Morgan or something will say, well, we're a technology company now, but not really.
Or they all say that.
Yeah, they all, I think they've all said that at one point or another, we're a technology company now. Well, what are some of the barriers to you guys growing any further? You've been successful so far. What would you like to see to grow Lending Front further?
Right. I think the biggest thing that we fight, I mean, there is some competition, right? I mean, you know, the biggest player in the space is called nCino. The second, there's another one called Numerated. So there's some level of competition, but it's not, I wouldn't call it massive. There is no incumbent in the small business lending space. It's pretty much a green field.
So, a growing area. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a growing area. But the area that really sort of limits growth is just inertia. The simple fact that most lenders, traditional lenders, whether it's a bank or credit union, think of lending in a very different way, in a very slow, you know, banker-driven process. And sort of that rapid automation, looking at cash flows is new to them. So we're in that early adoption phase of the transformation. So you have some early adopters. So I would say that's what's limiting rapid growth, right? But you know, give it one or two more years, you start seeing, you know, a greater level of adoption of new technology and different data sources that will enable sort of faster decisioning. And one of them is payments, right? The use of payments, so merchant receivables information as a conduit to originate decision and collect funds is right. Starting to take, you know, effect, right? You see a lot of like Square doing it, Amazon's getting into it, Goldman's sort of playing in the periphery. That will begin to, you know, create momentum for these guys to absorb new tech.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Goldman. It reminds me of so many of the partnerships that they're doing. And they've mentioned they kind of want, not they kind of, but they're building a fintech within their organization. What do you think of what they're doing?
I think it's very interesting. I think they're smart to do it, right? There's always, I'm not sure they're going to be, they're particularly innovative in the scheme of things, but you know, like they say, right?
Like a fast follower, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, the way I would put it is this, right? Like, you don't have to be faster than the bear. You just got to be faster than the slowest guy. And that's what you see here, right? It's like, you know, Fast is like Square, right? Who is just really innovative in terms of like, hey, using their infrastructure to lend. They're just a very big successful bank that understands technology is an enabler, right? And when they're competing with extremely slow other banks, just being just a little faster gives them a huge edge. Now, they are investing in technology. I know for a fact that they have, you know, big technology teams. Now, are they, like your question, are they going to be really good at building great technology? Don't know. But are they going to be better than your standard banks? Absolutely. So, you know, that gives them a huge first mover advantage and they should do well.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm not sure if they have a good PR department or if they're actually, you know, rolling these things out or they're really ahead of the other banks. Like, you know, JP Morgan, like Jamie Dimon always gets out there. I feel like I don't know if they're better, but they definitely get the media coverage.
End of the day, you know, they're big enough that any moves they make, they will be impactful.
So it seems like there's this little cottage industry of basically companies that develop a really good solution for a problem, say lending, managing lending data, assessing applicants. And it seems like there isn't a huge barrier for incumbents in this case to essentially replicate or copy what these companies are doing. So what do you as a CEO think of ways to stay ahead and to kind of have that remain with that competitive edge as banks sort of move closer to what you're building right now?
I actually think completely the opposite, which is there's always people saying they built something new, right? Or they're building whatever, right? But just think about what you said, right? Like lending technology has not evolved in literally 20 to 30 years, right? And there's a reason for that. And the infrastructure, the amount of data points that need to be touched, process points, the requirements, right? Like it's easy to lend 100 loans a year. It's very difficult to do 50,000 of them, right? Because you have to figure out who applied, who didn't, did you get the information? Did, you know, somebody call you, send you an email? Where are all the documents? How many offers did you make, right? The regulatory component, who made the decision? When was it made? Who sent the docs? Did you receive them? You know, did you receive a payment? So the technology is very complex. And traditionally, it is cobbled together by a bank, right? Like document management technology, you know, workflow technology, data access technology, and it's cobbled together, right? And at the central point, it tended to be a banker that coordinated all of it. What makes us unique and different and very difficult to copy is that we provide a totally complete solution that encompasses all of those elements. You know, we know and we feel very confident that there are players that say, oh, we can do a lot of that, but they can't. Because being a banker, former banker, right? Being a technologist, having built a previous technology platform and being very good at what we do, you know, it's taken us 5 years to get to this point. Knowing how banks work in terms of technology, resources, how much, you know, movement there is within a bank, right? Like your job in a bank is to move up to different roles, right? It's not to necessarily develop a new technology platform. You know, I think that's what makes us unique. And it would take years and a lot of money to replicate what we built. It doesn't mean that they can't, but very few players can.
Do you get a lot of customers now asking for buy now, pay later functionality? Or is that something kind of baked into your process?
It is kind of baked in, but that is an interesting question. We do have some customers that have been asking for that. Pay now, pay later. I don't know why that's the biggest thing in the world, because you know, if you're in credit, it's been around for freaking ever. So I think this is a marketing thing, but it works and we can provide it. So
generally, do you think that's kind of good for the customer or just another form of having a credit card kind of thing?
Yeah, it's just another form of credit. Honestly, it's like, I want a Peloton or I want to go on vacation and you're going to let me pay you in 6 installment loans. That's not fundamentally different from a credit card. It is, right? But in terms
it's,
of like-
Yeah, it's very like, there's no home shopping network that's always had that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, just installment and is somebody else willing to give you the credit, right? It's just, who's willing to provide the credit at what rate. And it's really on you as a person to decide you have enough credit, because you can buy now, pay later, and, you know, get yourself in trouble. So, you know, when we see this, right, which is one company can become huge, right? Buy now, pay later, right? Like OnDeck is a perfect example, right? Like, you know, sort of innovated small business lending, went public, very successful, and then it wasn't, right? The market eventually catches up. You can have one, maybe two big players that kind of do that, and everyone else catches up. And what tends to happen is big companies, big lenders, they are not designed to make big bets or invest and, you know, sort of try to say, look, this new product will be the next big thing, right?
In-house incubation.
It's not encouraged. So, you know, until it gets...
Just give me that spreadsheet back in time.
Yeah.
That's what you should be focused on.
Basically. And then
what's the return?
Yeah. And then, you know, that fintech is successful, the market says it works, then people begin to adopt it.
Yeah. Yeah. So any other trends? I mean, the market's changed a little bit in the past year. Anything would be cause for concern, or if it continued?
Not cause for concern, but cause for hope, which is, you know, what COVID did, right, is drive the surviving small businesses to join some type of online platform, right? Whether you join DoorDash, so you can, restaurant can survive and deliver. And now you sort of have this digital collection to people to, you know, sort of order, and you can sort of have that. Or you are a small retail shop selling clothes or whatever, and then you join Shopify or Amazon, and now you have an online store. Basically now it drove businesses to sort of belong to sort of this digital ecosystem. And what that has done is that has now opened the doors for them to get capital, not exclusively from banks, right? So it can be from Amazon, Stripe, or sort of these other alt lender companies, where they're going to look at those small businesses' payments, right? So I would say payments is the future, right, of small business lending. And now those payments are captured by these platforms. And that's great information for originating, underwriting, and servicing loans. And that has never existed before, right? That had always been sort
that of data. Yeah.
Yeah. And not even data, the actual infrastructure, right? Because the payment companies now can look at that information, but they can also intercept those payments to get paid back earlier, right? They don't take checks anymore. They can just take it from a daily basis. And that will open up who they lend to, when, how, right? And that will be the innovation. And it will push a lot of banks to sort of begin to adopt that type of thinking. And
yeah, they have better risk mitigation,
correct,
than the banks have. Yeah, you know, for lower rates.
Yeah, it seems like there were sort of two schools of thought, right? People thought that after COVID, we would sort of go back to the way things were. But it sounds like you're saying that now that we understand the power of, you know, new processes, new data, as you say, ingesting payment information to make underwriting and lending decisions as well, like that will change. What is your outlook for small businesses and their move to become more digitally savvy in the post-COVID world?
I think small businesses will continue to thrive, right? Certainly those that were able to build, you know, a digital presence by definition, right? Because you thrive in a really difficult time, and now things are opening up. So that's a good thing. Think about what happened if you were a traditional lender or institution, right? You need something that held them back. And this is conversations that we had with some of these lenders. They always said, look, small business is not that big of a business. You know, they're not that big, right? They're just not that many of them. We're not interested in lending to them. And people like coming into the branch, right? Like literally they would say that. Post-COVID, that totally changed, right? PPP basically smacked them in the head, and a lot of them are saying, wow, there's so many small businesses, so many good businesses we never knew existed. And we got slammed by trying to service them through our traditional model, right? Send me an email or walk into a branch. Like, this didn't work. So now there's impetus, right, from them to say, look, there's a lot of good small businesses, and the way we service them stink. So we want to change that. So I think they're going to get the benefits of at least a portion of the market shifting towards giving them a much better customer experience, which by definition means they're going to get better service and better products, which will help them grow.
Yeah, saying it stinks, the way you say it still sounds very diplomatic.
Well,
so
you know, they are my customers, right? I can't remember that.
Yeah. So where do you see lending front in 2 years? What are you guys going to look like?
Obviously more staff, but I think we, you know, the driving goal is for us to be more of a, you know, sort of go-to platform for small business lending. The way we see the world today is, you know, most lenders view the world in either consumer and commercial, right? Like there's technology for consumer lending, there's technology for commercial lending. And small business always tends to sort of get lumped into that commercial space. You want to carve that out and make sure that this, you know, the industry and players understand that small businesses are different enough that they need their own technology stack, their own way of originating, processing, and delivering capital and servicing it, because they're that unique. And we want to be the leader in that space. So hopefully in 2 years, that's more defined. We have a lot more bank customers to prove that that's the case.
Well, we'll have to have you back when you guys acquire Stripe and have a good celebration here on the podcast.
Yeah, that is a lofty goal.
Aim high. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast. You know, very interesting conversation. A lot of new angles here. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for the interest. Always a pleasure.
That's Jorge Sund, co-founder and CEO of LendingFront. Please hit subscribe to keep up with the latest in fintech news. And thank you for listening.